Chapter 29, and if not, we're going to have it up here on the screen. Talking about being upside down, talking about people making excuses. Even though the Bible's clear that all have sinned, some have the idea, they have the mindset that, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so is over here, or even, oh, it's not my fault. Even though I've sinned, it's not really my fault that I've become a sinner, that I've fallen short of God's will. Those are arguments that have always gone on. But you know another argument that people have had for years and years and thousands of years? They've had this idea, they've had this concept in their brain of, you know what? I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm wrong, but maybe God doesn't see that. Maybe God doesn't see my sin. You know that was going on way back with the children of Israel? Before we read, let me give you a little bit of context. Back a long time ago, there was Adam and Eve, right? So we're going to go through a major history lesson really short, so pay attention. Adam and Eve had kids, and those kids had kids, right? And so you have kids having kids, a bunch of kids. Fast forward a long time, and you have Abraham. How many of you have sung the song, Father Abraham had many sons? Okay, yeah, yeah. So we know Father Abraham had kids, and those kids had kids, but the difference was God chose Abraham and said, you are going to be a special people. Out of all the people that are in the world, I have chosen you to be my people, to represent me. Listen, this is how it was supposed to be. Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Abraham, were supposed to be up here. They were supposed to be the standard. They were supposed to be the idea that people all around them could look to and say, that is what God's people are supposed to be like. Listen, he gave them the Ten Commandments. We've heard about that. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. And all through the Ten Commandments, he gave them to the nation of Israel. But amazing as that is, amazing as the truth, I mean, think about that, being chosen specifically by God, saying, I'm choosing you. Israel looked around them, they looked around all the other kingdoms, all the other nations that were around them, and they said, ooh, look at them, they have a king. We don't have a king, we have a set of laws. They said, oh, we want a king. But God was supposed to be their king. But they said it over and over and over until God said, fine, I'm going to give you what you asked for. He gave him a king. And as if that wasn't bad enough, they had the true God on their side. Listen, this was the God that made the sun, the moon, the stars. He made all the rivers and the trees. He made everything. And the children of Israel looked around and they said, look at this. All the other nations around us have these false gods, these idols. Well, I've preached about idols before. Basically, an idol is anything that you put in front of God. So over here, the nation of Israel saw a nation that was worshiping a rock. And they said, oh, that looks fun. That looks appealing. That looks beautiful. Let's worship this rock. Now, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, think about it. You're serving the God who made all the rocks, and now you're going to serve one of those rocks? Listen, God could protect Israel. A rock couldn't protect anybody. A God could hear Israel whenever they prayed to him. A rock, how many of you talk to a rock? I knew it. A rock cannot hear what you say, Christopher. Sorry to break it to you. But they chose to worship false gods. They would worship stumps. They would worship fish. They would worship all these different idols. And right now, you better be thinking in your mind, well, Brother AJ, that is plumb crazy. If you knew the real God, why would you serve all these other false gods? But let me tell you something that's a little bit even crazier than that. If you have your Bibles open, Isaiah chapter 29, look at verse number 13. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Listen, here's what they were doing. Over here, they were saying, oh, we love God, and we want to serve God. That's what they were saying with their mouth. But over here, in their hearts, they were saying, oh, I don't want to serve God. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want to submit to or surrender to God. That's what they were saying in their heart. So over here, with their mouth, they're saying one thing, but with their heart, they're saying something completely different. Completely different. And they thought they could hide that from God. They thought that, well, as long as it's not on the outside, as long as we're not saying it with our mouths, God will never know. You know how tempting it is to think that? Why? Well, because we look around, and you know what? We can only see what is on the outside. If I were to come up to Reese here, and I were to say, what is going on the inside? Bring me a saw. And then look inside. I still don't know what's going on inside his heart. I can't see what's going on in his heart. I can't see what's going on in his mind. And the nation of Israel knew that. The children of Israel knew that on the outside everything looked really, really good. But on the inside, they were completely opposed to what God was telling them to do. That went on back then, and then you fast forward a couple of thousand years, and then Jesus was talking to people called the Pharisees. How many of you remember the story whenever the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, your disciples were eating without washing their hands. How many of you would be guilty of the same crime? My hand is up. Adults, your hands better be up. You know what we should do? Stone them. Stone them. No, that's what their argument was. Jesus, your disciples are eating without washing their hands. They had a law about eating without washing their hands. And Jesus looked at them and he says, how come you're so bent out of shape about them not washing their hands? But in reality, they were saying, but if a son were to go and to curse his mother and curse his father and say, oh, it is for a gift, it's okay. Basically, they were saying, you better wash your hands before you eat. It's part of the law. But if you curse your father, you curse your mother, it's okay. What Jesus was saying was, listen, you have it completely wrong. You have it completely upside down. You can look okay on the outside, but if on the inside you're resistant to God, listen, God sees that. God sees it. And he says, it's upside down. Why would you even think that? This whole idea, this whole theme of upside down, you realize that we didn't even make that up for this week. Look at verse number 16, Isaiah 29, verse 16. Actually, back up to verse 15. It says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us? God's saying, woe. You think that you can act one way in the dark when no one's looking, when no one's seeing it, that you're going to get away with it? Verse 16 says, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. As the potter's clay. You know, the closest thing I could think of to compare to the potter's clay is the greatest invention known to mankind. The invention known as Play-Doh. Play-Doh. How many of you, by a show of hands, have eaten Play-Doh? Amen.
It's delicious.
I noticed out of the entire, there's four lines on the warning label. It says, contains wheat. Contains wheat. So if you're wheat-free, gluten-free, however it is, you better watch out. Play-Doh can be dangerous. But if you can eat wheat, it's fine. It's no big deal. Play-Doh is amazing. It's amazing stuff. I grew up on this stuff. I mean, whenever I went out, and I'll be honest with you, I bought me some Play-Doh, a bunch of it. Look at the variety in the colors. If anyone in here is colorblind, I feel so bad for you, because this is so beautiful. The way God has poured, you get quiet. The way God has poured his beauty and creation into a pile of Play-Doh, and then listen, as soon as I bought it, I came over and I opened it up, and I got that smell. You know what I'm talking about. The smell of Play-Doh. Oh, my. I'm even smelling it right now. It's beautiful. This is wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff here. Let me see. Let me get my Play-Doh out. God said that you're turning of things upside down is like the potter's clay. Now, a potter would have clay very similar to Play-Doh. It would be just a lump that, wow, it's really strong, actually. Whew, smell that. Yeah, yeah. The potter's clay was very, very moldable. But, you know, there's a couple of things about the potter's clay. Number one, the potter's clay, even though it's amazing, even though it's glorious, it's this great stuff, it's not very smart. It's not very smart. If I go up to this pile of Play-Doh and say, Play-Doh, how are you doing today? No response. Play-Doh, what is 2 plus 2? No response. Play-Doh is not the smartest thing in the world. You know what else about Play-Doh? I can do whatever I want to this Play-Doh. I can say, Play-Doh, I'm going to make you into a brain. And this is about the size of a brain right here. So I say, okay, Play-Doh, I'm going to make you into a brain. And then I punch it. And then I give it a couple of eyeballs. And look, the Play-Doh will do exactly what I tell it to do. Inevitably, whenever I was growing up, the only thing Play-Doh ever turned into was the snake. How many, you know what I'm talking about? You're like, okay, enough of this. Until you roll it, and then you get the snake. That's what Play-Doh does. But even though Play-Doh can do absolutely anything that you want to it, Play-Doh can do nothing by itself. I mean, really, have you ever sat there and had a pile of Play-Doh on the ground and then came in the next morning and, oh my goodness, it made itself into a snowman? That's never happened. I mean, have I ever said to Play-Doh, you're now 18 years old, it's time to spread your wings and fly? This Play-Doh, it really can't do anything. It can do nothing by itself, even though I can do anything to it. And you know what God was saying? God was saying, listen, Israel, you're trying to act one way, and then in your heart you're saying something totally different. It's as silly as this Play-Doh outsmarting the one who's forming it. I mean, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because some of you would answer. If I said, how many of you think this Play-Doh's smarter than me? Yeah, I knew it. But the truth is, I don't care what I got on my GPA at Heartland. I don't care how rough the ordination council was. I am smarter than this pile of Play-Doh. I am smarter. But whenever God was talking to the nation of Israel, he said, listen, Israel, you're over here and you're acting one way. And the truth is, in your heart, you're saying something totally different. It's like the potter's clay. It's like a pile of Play-Doh saying that it's smarter than God. He's saying, listen, you can do whatever you want. You can try as hard as you want to cover it up. But listen, God knew exactly what Israel was doing. It didn't matter if they were worshiping gods in the closet. It didn't matter if they were worshiping gods in the middle of the nighttime, whenever everyone else was asleep. God saw what they were doing. And you know what? There's people that have been here for 3 nights now at VBS. And listen, God has said so clearly from his word. He said, listen, you are a sinner. There's no covering up. There's no excuses that you have. There's no, okay, I'm a lot closer to God than everyone else over here. That's not how it works. He said, you are a sinner. You have fallen short of God's glory, and there is nothing you can do by yourself. But you know what? There's people that even though they hear that, even though they've sat under the preaching of God's word, they say, listen, Brother AJ, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm wrong, but I don't want to talk about it because I don't want anybody else knowing what's on the inside. I mean, honestly, whenever there's sin in my life, whenever there's stuff that I am holding back from God, the last thing I want to do is have that displayed, have everybody know that, oh, Brother AJ is actually a big sinner. I don't want that. But listen, the truth is, God already knows. God already, listen, he knows what you say whenever you think nobody else is around to hear it. Listen, God knows what you think. Whenever you're not even saying it out loud, God knows. God sees what you're looking at. When you think nobody else is looking, God knows. God sees. There is nothing in your life that is hidden. There is nothing. And if you're sitting here, with this idea and this concept of, well, I'm just going to cover this up. I'm just going to make sure that nobody ever knows about it. You're like a pile of Play-Doh saying, I'm going to outsmart God. And listen, it didn't work for the nation of Israel, and it's not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you. I said, Brother AJ, you're just trying to scare people. No, I'm just being honest. Because really, if you think about it, here's the amazing truth. Catch this, I'm almost done. Even though God knows and He sees every single little detail in your life, He still chose to love you. I know there's stuff in my life, if I were to tell people, there'd be friends that I have that would say, okay, AJ, we are friends no more. Or there's stuff that maybe from a long time ago, if I were to bring up, people would say, well, AJ, I cannot look at you the same. But the truth is, even though God sees stuff that only we know about, He still said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you anyway. So if God loves you, and if God wants to turn you right side up and bring you back into a right relationship with Him, why would you try to hide that? Why would you try to say, nobody's ever going to know. Everyone thinks I'm okay. Just going to let it keep playing out that way. It's like being a pile of Play-Doh. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed,